So I want to talk to you tonight about doulos. Doulos. From Deuteronomy chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 15, it's where we get this concept of doulos. Doulos is the Greek word for the Hebrew. And essentially, it speaks of a bondservant. So if you go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 15, 12 through 18, it's a key passage, really understanding who we are in Christ. To miss this, boy, it's to miss it. Stand with me for the reading of the word. So the word of our Lord, Deuteronomy chapter 15, 12 through 18. If your brother, a Hebrew man or Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your winepress. From what the Lord your God has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. And if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also to your female servant you shall do likewise. It shall not seem hard to you when you send him away from you, for he has been worth a double hired servant in the serving you 6 years. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. Heavenly Father, open up our hearts to your word tonight, Lord God. Lord, to miss, Lord God, the concept of the doulos is to merely be a church person, a spectator, and not, Lord God, a servant of the living God. So, Lord God, we pray that you would just impress this truth upon our hearts. And we pray this blessing in Jesus' name, amen. So you can be seated. So what you have here in Deuteronomy chapter 15, this is a concept of jubilee, 7 years. Okay, a slave would only serve 7 years. Now, it's talking about essentially indentured, an indentured servant. This is somebody who may have owed money, okay, would be their master. They couldn't pay it back, and this is how they would pay their debt. So there's no bankruptcy, right? You couldn't pay your debt. You were going to pay your debt to the people that you owed the money to, or if the person had stole from them and they didn't have the money to pay back what they had stole, then they would be basically put into service for 6 years. Okay, it would be 6 years. On the seventh year, they would be set free. Now, when they would be set free, the master was responsible, and you see this in verse 13 through 15, to send them away liberally, to send them away with abundance. They would be given an abundance of agriculture. They would be given abundance of animals, and they would be sent away to start their life over anew. Now, in verse 16, if the servant loves his master, the master has blessed him or her. The master has prospered them. And they come to the place where they say, you know what, you've been so good to me, I don't want to leave. I want to serve you the rest of my life. So then what would happen, and you see this here again in verse 17 and 18, the master would take an awl, okay, you know, I think you know what an awl is, it's like a kind of a sharp screwdriver, and would take him to the door of the house, and he would just pierce his ear, and then he would pin it to the door, obviously just momentarily, and then he would take it out. It was a sign that he essentially now was a servant of that house for the rest of his life. And that is essentially the act of a doulos. The act of doulos, and again, the Hebrew word is abed, but the act of doulos was a free will act. The person chose to be his servant, not coerced. It is not manipulated, right? The person is not pressured into this. I just want you to understand this. Again, it is a beautiful picture of our relationship with God. Jesus never coerces us. He never manipulates us. He doesn't. That comes from the world. That's religion. He basically frees us, blesses us, prospers us, and then it is our free choice whether we will serve him or not. Now, I want to take you through a number of things. The in-depth study on doulos, probably the deepest study that I have done. I've been working on this for the last month, and I'm going to focus on New Testament, the New Testament passages, and I'm going to focus on the Greek word doulos, okay? I want to share with you some things. First thing, okay, identity, ID of doulos, is a key, essentially component of our identity in Christ. You know, we know that our identity in Christ, that we're children. We know that our identity in Christ, that we are God's ministers, that we are God's ambassadors, that we are God's priests, that we are God's doulos, that we are God's bond servants. And what you see in the New Testament, the introduction of the letters of the apostles, they all identify themselves as doulos. And I'm going to show you, every time you see the word bondservant, it can be translated doulos. So James, okay, 1:1. A bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the doulos. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. 2 Peter chapter 1:1. Peter doesn't do it in the first letter, right? In the second letter, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. And in Romans 1:1, Paul, and Paul does it in each of his letters, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. So you see here, a true Christian, again, this becomes their identity, our identity in Christ. You know, it's one of the greatest missing things in the lives of people in the church. They don't know who the heck they are. You will always act in accordance to your identity, whatever that may be. You will always act in accordance with your self-concept, with your self-image, which is essentially what the identity is. And that's why it's vital that one of the great things that the Spirit of God is doing throughout the Scriptures, and it's so important that we're in the Word of God daily, where we allow the Holy Spirit to do this in our lives, is that He is continuously impressing upon us, okay, who God is and who we are in Christ. Because we suffer from amnesia, we forget who we are, and then we begin to act like something other than we are in Christ. When you see a Christian living in sin, doing sinful things, Christian acting out, I'll tell you something. That's a perfect example of somebody. They have forgotten who the heck they are in Christ, if they are even in Christ. So it's a key component. Doulos is a key component to our identity in Jesus. Second, the humility of doulos. So if you look at Luke chapter 17, 7 through 10, and by the way, again, every time you see the word servant being used, the word doulos, okay, in the Greek. Jesus here, he says, and which of you having a servant, a doulos, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. Notice the last sentence, and I put it in red. We have done what our duty, right, to do. We have done what we were commanded to do. We have done what we were equipped to do. We have done what we were empowered to do. We have done what we were supposed to do. It is our duty. We don't look for applause. We don't look for accolades. We don't look for people swooning over us that we're so wonderful because we have served God. See, the problem that you see in the Gospels with the Pharisees is they had no concept of doulos. when the Pharisee prayed, right, he prayed to be seen. Right, he wasn't speaking to God, right? And when Jesus compared, right, the Pharisee and the tax collector, he said he's praying to himself. He would stand in the marketplace in his fancy robes to be seen and to be heard by people so that they would praise him and say, "Oh, look, Pharisee Simon is so spiritual, isn't he? Isn't he so wonderful?" When they gave, they blasted the trumpet for everybody to hear how much they gave or what they gave. And when they fasted, they would make themselves look all disheveled and tired, right? Mess up their hair. People come to him and say, "Rabbi, you know, what's the problem? Pharisee, what's the problem?" I say, I'm fasting. That is all the opposite of doulos. You know what you see today in the church? You see it right here. See, people, every time they do a good deed, they post it on Facebook or on Instagram. That's being a Pharisee. Every time they do, I'm not on Facebook. Thank God I'm not on Instagram, because I would go crazy. You would have people leaving this church being so angry at me if I was on those things looking at this stuff. But it's nothing more than what Jesus came against in Matthew chapter 6 about, again, the Pharisees. That's the opposite of doulos. See, I'm just doing my duty today. You know, there was a time, remember, a couple years ago, we were starting to get a lot of people applauding after church, and I didn't sense that they were applauding to God. It's nice to encourage. But we only applaud to God. We only glorify God. We only magnify God. We only praise God, right? We adore God. We worship God, right? He is God. And we don't do that with one another. We can encourage one another. We're supposed to do that. But when I serve God, I'm just doing my duty. That's all. I'm just doing what he has gifted me to do. Not looking for any applause. Not looking for any accolades, not looking for any swooning of people. I'm just doing what God has called me to do. You know what a gray man is? A gray man is a person that you don't know really who they are, and you don't really know anything about them, and they just kind of are able to disappear into the culture. Spies, hitmen. We are to be Christian gray men. We just do our duty. We are to essentially be eclipsed by Jesus and the cross. That they would see Jesus by our acts and not, again, be looking at us. So that is a key component. That's the humility of doulos. Doulos isn't looking for attention. Doulos isn't looking for applause. The doulos is not a promoter of himself or herself. Again, look at Christianity as a whole today. That's what you see. Just go online. That's just people just glorifying themselves. Third, the faithfulness of doulos. Matthew chapter 25, 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord." Again, the doulos is faithful. They're faithful with the little things that God gives to them. Whatever God gives to them, they take responsibility for it, and they are faithful in carrying it out. And what it says is, then God will give you more. So when I got saved, I was born again, I felt a sense to be a preacher, not even knowing I'd be doing this. I didn't understand really what it was to be a pastor, but I knew I was called to proclaim the word of God. I started doing that immediately, telling people about Jesus. And when I began to attend a church, the Maranatha Church, I went to the pastor and I sat down with him and I said, "I feel God's calling on my life to be a preacher, preach the gospel." And I said, what should I do? And he said, you should come here on Saturdays and clean the bathrooms. So they gave me a mop. And I owned a business where I had people doing all that stuff for me. But I would go there on Saturday, and those toilets and urinals and floor would shine. You could eat off of it. You wouldn't want to eat off of it, but you could eat off of it. I was faithful with the mop. So then they gave me more. They gave me a vacuum. For he who is faithful with little will be given more. And I then not only had a mop, I had a vacuum, vacuuming the church. And then they gave me a high task. The Lord is good. They gave me a lawnmower. And I cut the lawn. And I was devoted to cutting the lawn, except for the day my daughter Chrissy was born. I ended up, you know that big, huge lawn in the back of Maranatha, it's acres of grass. I ended up going through the whole back. I never put the cutter down. I was on cloud nine. My second daughter was just born. But just the concept, again, of faithfulness, you take what God has given you, whatever it may be, and you become faithful with that. And God will always, again, give you more. And that is that the faithfulness of doulos. Now, people come to me and say, I want to teach. I want to preach. People even walking in are sometimes like, what do I need to do to get in the pulpit and preach on Sunday? How about becoming faithful? How about become a faithful attender? Become a faithful worshiper. Become faithful doing little things. You think I'm just going to hand the pulpit off to somebody? Right? You need to be faithful. You need to prove yourself faithful with little things. And that is, again, what the doulos does and gives you more. I'm going to tell you this. When I was going through this process, and I'm telling you, it went from a mop to a vacuum to a lawnmower, and then I was given other tasks, and I was asked to be an usher, and then I ended up being asked to be the head usher. And, you know, proved faithful with that. And then they asked me to be a deacon. And then I was given the privilege of teaching a Bible study. Six people on a Thursday night in the nursery. And I taught those six people. And I was asked to preach on a Wednesday. And then eventually I was asked to preach from the pulpit. Then I was asked to do evangelism and travel around and speak in different churches. Churches that I never even heard of were calling me up and asking me, this is the Holy Spirit doing his thing. And then I was called to start this church. You know what happened when I started Living Word? I went all the way back to cleaning bathrooms, to vacuuming, right? We didn't have a lawn to cut, but doing the work of the church. All those things were back doing them. And we still do them, the pastors here. We're still doing them. And again, not to be seen, not for a glory. It's just being faithful in the little things that God gives us. The fourth, leadership of doulos. Matthew chapter 20, verse 27, and whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Do you know that God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom? It's not like the world. So if you look here, this is a great illustration of servant leadership. If you look at servant leadership, the leader is at the bottom. They are a servant of the people that they lead. And then you look at the typical leadership structure of the world, it's top down. This is again something people will come to me and say, I want to be an elder. I want to be on the church board. I want to be a deacon. Well, you need to be a servant. You know, when we select people and put them into a leadership position, it's not because they wanted to. It's not because they're ambitious. We watch them and we see the way they serve here. We see their faithfulness. You know, they're active in ministry. They're active in the ministry of the church. Also, we notice people, there's something broken. They go over and they fix it, and sometimes they try to fix it. That's me, right? Something's a mess. There's a mess. You'll see them cleaning it up. But they're active servants, and they're the people that essentially we're looking for to put into ministry. Not ambitious people. Ambitious people, you know, they're ambitious for leadership. You got to prove yourself as a servant before you can ever lead in the kingdom of God. And you know what's interesting? This model has become very popular in the business world. It has become very popular in the business world. There has been such a paradigm shift in the business world where now servant leadership is becoming more and more the norm. And again, not the autocratic leader who, again, is lording it over. The fifth, the blessing of doulos. So in Luke chapter 12, 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Right? They're watching, they're waiting for him. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Do you see the picture there, the blessing? That the doulos becomes served. He is served by the Lord. Now that kind of blows my mind. That Jesus, right, and you look at the picture, Jesus here is taking on the role of the doulos, the bondservant. He is girding himself. He's putting a towel around his waist, and he is serving us. I just want you to stop and think about this. Doesn't he do that every day for us? Now you really stop and think about it. Jesus serves me every day. He provides, he protects, he heals, he cares. Like, you can't outserve God. He says you can't outgive God, you can't outserve God. Is that the Lord is serving us, he's serving us all day long. And there will come a day and we're going to be like Peter, you're not going to wash my feet. When the Lord comes to serve us, right, it's going to me, it will be an embarrassing moment. Lord, you can't do this. But yet he's doing it every day in our lives. Number six, friendship of doulos. So John chapter 15, verse 14 and 15, he says here, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. So notice there's a graduation here of the doulos. Okay, they are still the doulos, but they come into friendship. They are friendships with Jesus. They have friendship with God. And the greatest expression of that friendship, the greatest experience of that friendship is what? He shares his secrets with us. He shares his mysteries with us. That's one of the greatest joys of my walk with the Lord, is that the Lord has shared his deepest secrets with me. Now, you see things going on in the world right now? You see what's going on in Israel right now? I want to tell you something. There's no surprise and no secret what's happening. Because God has made it very clear, and he has revealed to us exactly what's going on and where this thing is going. And it's, let me tell you, if you don't understand that, this is a very frightening time in the world. Because we could be on the verge of World War III right now. And you've got this access now between Iran and Russia and China and South and North Korea, who are nuked up and would like nothing more to eliminate Israel and the United States. But we know how it turns out. We know where Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a good read this week with what's going on and what's probably going to happen over the course of the next, I'd say, 24 to 72 hours. But he has revealed these deep secrets with us. his mysteries with us. You know, the message I preached on Sunday from 2 Peter chapter 3, that's one of the most fantastic passages in Scripture. In fact, it's neat because I've been sharing it with people through the last couple of weeks, right outside the church, talking about what the Bible reveals and what the Holy Spirit reveals to us in 2 Peter chapter 3. But that chapter is filled with some of the most wonderful mysteries, right, uncovered. It's truly, right, it's revelation. It's the uncovering of what God has given us. But that's what he does with those who are doulos, who have come into this friendship with him. Matthew chapter 12, verse 48 through 50. And you see again, Jesus is asked the question, right? Your mother and brothers are outside. And he says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. They are his family. Again, it's those who do his will. The doulos are the family of God. They're his brothers. They're his sisters. And we enter into, again, this tremendous blessing of friendship with him. Number 7, everlasting doulos. So Revelation chapter 22, 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And notice this, and his doulos, his servants, shall serve him. This is talking about eternity now. What are we going to be doing in eternity? Are we going to become a bunch of chubby little people sitting on clouds playing violins? We're going to be serving God throughout eternity. He is going to be creating a new heavens and a new earth. And there are going to be ministries. You know, the Bema Seat of Christ that's spoken of in the book of Corinthians. When the Lord comes back and the church is raptured and the resurrection happens, we will be in heaven with him while the tribulation is occurring here on earth. And there are two things that happen in heaven while we are with him. One is what is called the Bema Seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. The second thing is the wedding supper of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 19. The Bema Seat of Christ, every Christian is going to appear before the Bema Seat, the throne of Christ, and we have to give an accounting. We're going to give an accounting. What did you do? What did you do from the time you were saved until the time you either died or were raptured? I gave you spiritual gifts. I gave you talents. I gave you ability. I gave you time. And I gave you money. Now, what did you do with it? You're going to have to give an accounting to him. And the Bible says that there will be rewards. It is not a judgment of condemnation. Nobody's going to hell at the Bema Seat of Christ. It is essentially, really in a sense, an award ceremony. You ever go to an award ceremony, right? For the people who were faithful with what God had given them, right? The people who were faithful with the talents that God had given them. The one was given 5, he earned 5 more, right? He receives greater blessing. The one with 2 earned 2 more. The one with 1, he buried it. The Bible actually, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, talks about people who will get into heaven, but it's like they will get into heaven with the seat of their pants being scorched. Like they have gone into heaven. It's interesting. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he's really talking about the Corinthians, who were a very carnal, worldly bunch. But there are people who will get into heaven, and basically they wasted their life here on earth. They didn't contribute to the kingdom of God. You know, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Think about that, because there's a whole lot of things, right? My degrees are not coming with me. My investments are not coming with me. My 401k is not coming with me. My material possessions are not coming with me. Only what I have done for Christ will come with me. And then there will be, again, this reward. I believe, right, he talks about crowns. But I believe one of the rewards that will be given, he will give those who have been faithful on earth greater responsibilities in the new heavens and new earth. And I mean, think about this. this universe is so vast, a new heavens and new earth, and it's going to be something that's going to, I think, just totally blow away the material universe, this four-dimensional universe that we live in. And there are going to be things, right? So you have the new Jerusalem on earth, and that's where we're going to be living, right? We're going to have our home there, our mansions, as it says in John chapter 14. But I believe that we're going to be leaving that place, and we're going to be going out. There are 12 gates, and we'll be going out. We're going to have responsibilities. And I think that God is going to create some incredible things in this universe that we're going to be doing and that we're going to be tending. And that's where we're going to be spending all eternity. But again, it comes back. We will be serving him for the rest of eternity. It's not a temporary thing. I won't be a pastor in eternity. I will be a doulos in eternity, forever and ever. Okay, number 8, the model of doulos. In John chapter 13, 15 through 17, Jesus here says, "For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most surely I say to you, a servant," again, a doulos is not greater than his master, "nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Jesus is our model. Jesus is our example of what it is to be a doulos. Number 9, the attitude of doulos. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The attitude, okay, the word is phroneo. It's the attitude. "Let the attitude be in you, okay, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." So the picture here again of his attitude is one of humility. You know, Jesus didn't get caught up in titles. Jesus didn't walk around and say to people, "Do you know who I am?" You ever see people do that? "Do you know who I am?" And I don't know who said it, but it was funny. The guy, it was the mayor of one of these towns, came in and said to the restaurant owner, "I didn't have any seats." And he goes, "Do you know who I am?" And the restaurant owner looked at him and said, "What, did you forget who you are?" Then people like to have to tell you about how great they are to impress you. "Please impress me, impress me, impress me." Jesus never did that. And we are not supposed to do that. Just, we don't need to be holding up our titles or our authority or our power. You know, Jesus, he never sought his own glory. Whose glory did he seek? He sought the Father's glory. He always sought to glorify the Father. And what we are to do is we are to always be seeking to glorify the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Always pointing to the Lord. Last thing here, the motive of doulos, and we kind of come back to where we were in Deuteronomy chapter 15. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, "For the love of Christ compels us. For the love of Christ compels us. For the love of Christ motivates us. For the love of Christ inspires us. For the love of Christ energizes us. For the love of Christ moves us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Our love for him that flows from what he did for us by dying for us on the cross, keeping us from hell. He took our hell upon himself. He took the wrath of God upon himself. He took condemnation upon ourselves. On himself to free us, right? He forgave us. He justified us. We have been adopted into his family. We are redeemed. We are reconciled to him. And now he frees us to no longer live for ourselves, but to live for him and to serve him in glory. So you see that this concept of doulos is such a, again, a key component to a Christian identity. And to miss this, again, I don't know if somebody misses that. I wonder, I truly wonder, look, I wonder a lot about people who say they're Christians, you know. You see the thing happen at the Olympics? So they said 2 billion Christians are offended. That's a bunch of nonsense. Most of them don't even care. I think most of them don't know Christ. You know, I think going to church makes you a Christian, right? What did Keith Green say? Going to church don't make you any more of a Christian than going to McDonald's will make you a hamburger, right? Praying don't make you a Christian. All people in religions pray. Being a Christian is becoming a follower and servant of Jesus Christ. I think that is what it is to be a true Christian. And again, the concept of bondservant, you know, drives that home. I hope that it spoke to your heart. I'll say one thing about preaching this message on a Wednesday night. Most of you here serve God here at Living Word Community Church. Most of you are people who are actively in ministry serving God. So maybe it was a better message to be preached on a Sunday. But it's what God gave me and what I essentially bring to you. But let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would impress upon our hearts, Lord God, your word, Lord, this identity of being a doulos, of being a bondservant of our Lord Jesus Christ. May our heart, Lord God, the desire be, Jesus, I love you. Take me. Lord, use me. Make my life count for your glory as a bondservant of the one who gave me his all. Amen.